This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes.
Your mouth needs cannon. Get your hands in my pocket.
Baby, I don't want to hurt you, buddy. But there's something I must confess to you. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
Ooh.
I don't see nothing wrong, baby, baby. Hey. Dear Martha.
Oh. You know what that means. As John Cougar Watermelon Camp once said, sucking on chili dog outside the tasty freeze.
We should do an episode where we just reply
Welcome to
each other. We should do an episode where we reply to everything we say with song lyrics.
Especially lyrics that shouldn't sound gross or dirty, and then, they sound awfully dirty. Oh, yeah.
It's true, Nick. We have reunited to do the Lord's work tonight.
Oh, yeah, and it feels so good. Reunited, and it's understood.
What have you been up to, man? I haven't talked to you in like 3 years.
Oh, man, it's been ages.
See, people don't know this. You know, we put out episodes, but we only record once a year.
It's just one long marathon that we edit out.
Yeah, that's right. We record for like 36 hours in one day,
mm-hmm.
and then we just release that.
Splice it all together, and that's what you get.
Yeah. The professionals do.
We throw it into a random name and number generator, and this is what you get.
Yeah, we've just been lucky that it somewhat makes sense most of the time.
I don't even know if we shoot for that, do we?
I mean, we don't shoot for anything.
I was going to say, that's like... back in the day when our show description said that we talked about anime, yet we never talk about anime.
Yeah, who wrote that description? God damn. That
so
guy
good.
Should get fired.
No way, promote him.
No, the best thing is that description stayed for like 140 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Until we actually read it out loud, then we're like, we don't even do half this stuff. It's one of those quoting a Lionel Richie song? Yes, check. Where is that in the description? Talking about Mac Davis albums? Yes, check. But where's that in the description? Rainbow Unicorns? Where is this? Whose podcast is this?
The one thing we talk about is not in the description.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, and slow cooker stuff as well. Like, okay, that's there. Okay, all right, good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fixed it.
Oh, God.
We fixed it.
And people still listen. It's weird.
I don't know why.
I don't get it. I really don't. And it scares me every time I see somebody on Twitter like, you know what? I agree with you. Martin's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And like the entire tweet just sort of goes into the back room, and I'm like, wait a minute, you listen to this? Like, the entire tweet just falls off the cliff. I'm like, oh no, they listen. Oh no. Oh no. No.
It's a shame. Shame on those people that listen to this podcast.
Luckily, I had this conversation last week. My wife's like, so what's your podcast called? Like, what's the URL?
Oh no!
I was like, humble, humble, humble.
Elizabeth, don't listen.
It's Geek Brunch Retrocast. My microphone is horrible, and I go by Rob Krieger rhymes with Seeger. Thank you. Bye bye.
Oh
no, she's because I well, and I mean, I did go like and then. I finally sort of like, well, of course, in my head, it was masterful diversion trying to whittle down why the hell does she want to listen to this? But I'm sure she instantly saw through it. But in my head, it was masterful. It was like a a scene from a James Bond movie where I'm where I have cards and I'm talking to the nemesis across the table playing Bacharach. But she's like, finally, she just gives me a look and she's like, hey, stupid, it's not for me. A coworker is into comic books and stuff you're into, and I told them that they should listen to it. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. I'm like, no! I guarantee you that person will listen. Well, it's like a coworker's husband or brother or something. And I was like, okay, in my head, I'm just like, they'll listen to one episode and they'll instantly drop off. Thank you. Bye-bye. Just keep us in your feed. Thank you. Just automatically download Nerdy Legion. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's not true, Nick. This podcast has the second highest listener retention.
Oh, God. Compared to what?
Out of all the podcasts. People that listen that come back. Listen to another episode.
I'm guessing that we are up there with Ivar's long box. That's the first retained, and then us, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Don't freak me out. Not this early in the podcast.
95%, Nick. 95%. Oof. Listen to more than one episode.
We trick them.
Wait, that might be number one. Hold on a second.
We bring them in with our sweet SEO titles that you come up with, thank God.
That's how I get them. I hook them in.
Yeah.
With the SEO juice.
Yep. Fishnets and long necks. What? But who knows? That's SEO juice right there. People are typing in fishnets and they're typing in long necks. You can have that show title. It's free. First time I came up with one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Episode title. There we go.
Oh, golly.
It only took you 149 episodes.
I know. We have a big one coming up, son.
Oh, man.
Oh, or do man. We just drop the toilet episode on them?
I have news.
150 and we're out. Bye. Like, we're done. Here's our toilet episode. And we just shuttered another podcast. Okay, bye.
So I have bad news, though.
Ooh, go ahead. I love bad news.
The much-teased toilet episode is lost.
Oh, thank the Lord Almighty.
I honestly cannot find it.
Are you saying lost, wink, wink?
No, like, seriously, I can't find it.
Okay, good. Wink, wink. Yeah, I hear you. Smart. Very smart.
What do you mean smart? That was a classic.
That's you. Let me. Okay, I'm going to run through for the listener. Legionnaires, buckle up. I'm guessing Martin was, after working 19 hours, was commuting home, decided to listen to the toilet episode, which he never ever would do ahead of time, listened to it and said, my God, 70% of our listenership will be gone if I ever publish this thing. It's god-awful.
I don't know if you realize this, Nick. America is great because people love hot garbage.
Well, that's true.
And that's why this podcast is great. Because it's hot garbage. People love listening to hot garbage, Nick. I don't know if you know this. Because they tune in and they laugh and they're like, these guys are idiots. I'm glad I'm not that way, but they really are that way. They just don't want to admit it.
Oh, see, maybe you're coming through with the nugget now. People are figuring out, my life is crapola, but listening to these two guys, it ain't that bad. It's bad. It ain't that bad.
Or maybe they say, I wish we were like these guys.
Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's the first time I ever heard that uttered about me my entire life. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you don't Google fishnecks and longnecks,
ooh,
because
that's an image search.
I'm not doing an image search, but I did a text search, and the number four query is a giant data dump of usernames and passwords.
Oh, my God. See? SEO juice. Thank you. It's in my head. Or I just like the rhymeability of it. One or the other.
Oh, man. No, if you do an image search, you just get fish.
Oh,
it's
darn
boring.
It.
Yeah, it's boring. And the Mount Rushmore podcast, which, what?
Whoa. See, this is our problem. This is why we are below Ivar's Longbox, which you can't even find that podcast on the network anymore.
Ooh.
That's how low our subscriber rate is. But there's a podcast just about Mount Rushmore.
What are we doing? What are we doing? I'm trying to get Aaron Bell to do his damn Saved by the Bell podcast, and he won't listen.
Why doesn't he want that?
It would be the number one podcast on this network.
Well, without a doubt.
Who doesn't love Kelly Kapowski?
I know. I'm a Slater head. I would love it.
Oh, do you remember when he wore that leotard and did his ballet dance at the diner?
Oh, God. Forget about it.
That was great.
And I mean, what? Didn't Alonzo? Didn't he go on to do America's Funniest Videos? Isn't he doing that now?
Is he doing that now?
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Bell, get on it, dude. You know how much of a following that dumb show has?
Oh, you know what he does too? Well, yeah, he still does it. I think he took over Casey Kasem on that Top 40 thing.
See, what's wrong with Bell?
Painful.
I mean, what do you... Hey, you keep pushing this on me, and I keep saying no, no, no. It doesn't fit as good as Aaron Bell doing a Saved by the Bell podcast. But I know you keep pushing it for Nick Wetmore to do an entire history of log rides at amusement parks. And I'm like, dude, I get it. Okay, Wetmore, I get it. Ha, ha, ha.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I would do the history of spaghetti.
Oh, God, I couldn't even... Really? Is that what they went for?
Yeah, hashtag dad jokes. Yeah, Ronnie, I got dad jokes. What's up, bro? Get at me.
Not that, come on, that had to be like junior high, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, with my name, it was always rhyming and opposites.
Mm.
So it was Dick Wetless, Dick Drymore. Oh, yeah. And then... And I mean, little boys don't, I mean, children don't, they don't know what can hurt their parents. But I would always come home and be like, what the heck? Why does everybody do, blah, blah, you know, opposites and all that? And, you know, hey, kids are mean. I mean, especially boys are mean, especially. And one time we went back to visit my grandma and grandpa, well, both sets of grandma and grandpa, I was at Fort Wayne, Indiana, home of Shelley Long and Charles Manson. And while we were at my dad's parents' house, I was sitting at the table and they were asking us about school. And my grandmother, you know, I'm talking to her and then she like tries to, you know, ask me a couple more questions. And then I brought up the whole, you know, Dick Drymore and and I just, you know, flippantly said, I just wish I had a different name. Can I just change my last name, or can I just go by Anthony, which is my, you know, middle name? Can I just go by Tony? And my grandmother, it was like a slowly a turn. She just looks at me and she's like, you will never give up that name.
Oh, wow.
That name is your name. That we are very proud of that last name. And we love your first name. It's named after your father's best friend in the Navy. He went, you know, he went through Bay of Pigs with him, blah, 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 and just ripped into me. And I mean, I was like 7 years old.
Shame on you, little Nick.
I know. I was just, oh, boy. And I mean, this is like altar boy Nick. This is the years of like, I was a good a boy. I was like, my parents could say disappointed in Nick and I would start crying like, oh. So that just completely, that crushed me so much that after I went in to go to bed, like hours later, my mom had to come in and comfort me knowing like I was absolutely crushed at my grandmother, like yelling at me.
Oh, man.
Oh, so weird.
Shame on you.
But you got spaghetti, huh?
Yeah, I had spaghetti because nothing else rhymes with Ferretti.
Right.
And then, of course, now it's Ferret Tim. Which, that's not very original.
The kids aren't going to give you Ferrari. God forbid you get a cool.
Oh
rhyme.
No, I did have that. I had that. Like early in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then after that, I was too cool, so I was just Martin.
And then you became Ferrero Rocher, as we all know.
I love Ferrero Rocher.
Of course you do. You're very fancy.
They're so delicious. When I eat them, I put my pinky up, and then another pinky grows out of my pinky.
And how do you eat them?
Just with two fingers. What do you mean?
But there's two ways. You can either suck it, or you can just instantly bite in and let's just go to town on this bad boy.
Listen, is this like a sex ed podcast, or are we talking about chocolate here?
No, Ferrero Rochers are really good if you melt them a little bit.
Hmm.
They're delightful that way.
I don't think I've ever done that. No, I just, yeah. I bite them. Little bites.
Well, then I highly recommend.
Little bites.
Give them a shot.
All right, so what I'll do is I'll take a bite, then I'll suck out the juice, and then I'll stuff it on my pinky, and then I'll eat it off my pinky.
You do it however you have to do it. Hey, okay, now complete left-hand turn, but I have to thank you for this before I forget to thank you for this. Not that I haven't already done this, but it was your reminder on Twitter. Hey, guys, you know how to mute phrases and terms and hashtags that you don't want to see in your timeline? Follow these steps. And sure enough, there's the, of course, set that I already have for Mr. Orange Hair. And then I was like, yes, I will do that right now. And I set it all up for Avengers, Infinity War, and all variations on Infinity War.
Which this episode is dedicated to only talking about Infinity War.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it right now.
Yep, we're here.
All right, just kidding. Yeah, dude, like, I hear so many people talk about how much they hate Twitter. Because it's just so much, like, bullshit bombarding them all the time. Like, everyone's talking politics and this and that. And I'm like, I don't have any of those problems. So, the other day I was going through my settings, because you know me, I love me some settings.
Oh, God, yeah.
I gotta check the settings. And so I'm going through the settings, and I saw, like, the personalization ones and all that, the account stuff. And because I wanted to download my Twitter data, just to see, like, what they had. Because I did that with Facebook, and that's why I closed my Facebook account, because I was like, nope, too much data. So I was going through it, and then I saw all that stuff that I had set up. I was like, huh, I'm sure, like, a lot of people would appreciate me sharing some tips on how I keep my Twitter feed to not be hot bullshit garbage. And it works pretty good, and it's so easy. Like, you literally change, like, two things, you're done.
It works really well. And it cut out a lot. I didn't realize how much garbage just piles up the minutiae of somebody saying some of the keywords that I don't want to hear about. Yes, could I lose a tweet from you mentioning Avengers? Oh, I'm reading an issue of Avengers. Yes, I might lose that. Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you really wanted me to know that you're reading an issue of Avengers, you would at me. So then I would see it.
Well, the problem is that, like, people become too reliant on just letting these things work.
Oh, no.
Right? And when you just let these things work is when they fuck up. Right? You have to be proactive in the way that you share your stuff on the internet. Right?
For sure.
And,
agreed.
And I'm not talking about, like, some of the crazy shit that I do. But, like, just for normal people, like Twitter, if you like something, Twitter's tracking everything you like.
For right? sure.
So it'll start suggesting other people that you might like their tweets based on what you like. So I remember once I liked, like, a video that the Daily Show had put out, and all of a sudden, like, I'm getting all these Daily Show tweets. And then, like, Conan O'Brien tweets, and Stephen Colbert tweets. And, like, they're funny, and they're fine for a while, but after a while, I'm just like, I don't want to see this. Like, I just want to see comic stuff and tech stuff.
Yep.
You know? And if you go into your settings and you find all that stuff, you'll see that there's a section where you can uncheck all these things that Twitter thinks you're interested in. And once you do that, your timeline's fucking awesome.
It's really helpful. Am I missing out on what Neil Patrick Harris is doing? Yes. Yes, I am. But that's okay.
Yeah, but do you really care, though? You know what I mean?
No, like you said, I probably liked one of his things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he does talk a lot about equal rights and stuff like that. You know, stuff that I'm behind, absolutely. But I don't need to see every Neil Patrick Harris tweet, or guess what? I would be following it if that was the case.
Yeah. You know when that changed, when they started having letting the algorithm do things for you, when they put the AI in.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook's the same way. Like, Facebook used to be awesome because it used to be a timeline where things showed up in order that they were posted.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, that was no longer the case, and Twitter started doing this. And so you're getting, like, most relevant.
Yep.
So they're all out of order, out of whack. So sometimes you see, like, this is especially bad for, like, if you're having a conversation with friends about a topic, sometimes they'll show up in the wrong order. Like, the reply tweets.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, like, somebody with more followers, Twitter would think they're more relevant than somebody with less followers.
Yeah, and it's so weighted.
Yeah, it's weighted. So, I'm not saying go to the lengths that I do on this kind of stuff, but if you put a little bit of effort, then it saves you a lot of problems.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm telling you, dude, once you change this, especially the muted words, you go to muted words and put in, like, three or four that you see constantly that you can't stand to see, timeline's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Timeline's perfect.
All right, buddy. I have three items that I have to get to.
Or get to them.
Okay. First one. Martin Ferretti, what's your top three candy bars? Or candy?
Okay.
If you don't like chocolate, I'm not going to say candy bars.
I do like chocolate.
Okay. Well, then let's go candy bars.
Well, we already mentioned one, the Ferrero Rocher Little Balls.
Okay.
Of pure delicious goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's in the top three.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm also going to put the Mr. Good Bar on there.
Mr. Good Bar?
Yeah, because it's like a Ferrero Rocher.
The peanuts?
Yeah.
What? It's just chocolate and peanuts.
Yeah, it's delicious.
What?
I'm a simple man.
At this point, I want to hear what this number one is, because I can't believe the items that are in my head are not reciprocated on
your list. Wait. What's wrong with Mr. Good Bar?
Good God. Okay, give me your last one, because holy mackerel. All right, go ahead.
Last one? Let's see. I'm not huge at the chocolate. Let me think. Oh, those, what is it, like Lindt truffles or whatever?
Lindt truffle?
Oh, dude, yes. What do you mean?
Losing my mind, there's no reason. Okay, I'll give you them right now, front to back.
Okay.
The Take Five. It's a damn perfect candy bar. You throw them in the freezer, even better.
Okay.
Okay, and this just blows. Okay, I get that you like peanuts, but it's hard to beat a Snickers.
I don't like Snickers.
Okay, fine. But what about the most perfect candy bar, which is a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup?
Don't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh my God, you are too fancy for me, son.
Let me tell you. Look. I don't like peanut butter.
Oh, okay.
I don't like peanut butter. I like Butterfingers.
Sure.
But I can't eat them. They're so sweet. Like, when I was a kid, I used to love the shit out of some chocolate. But as I've gotten older, like, my sweet taste buds have just kind of gone away. I'm not a huge, like, sweet fan. And when I eat, like, really sweet stuff, it, like, hurts my face.
Okay. All right. I get you. I feel you.
I'm just saying. But I do like a Butterfinger.
Oh, yeah, but it's not in the top three.
It's not in the top three. I mean, and I'll have like a Reese cup once in a while. What's the one that I like? The white chocolate Hershey's.
Oh, God, that's even sweeter, isn't it?
What is that, like milk cookies and cream or something? Yeah, cookies and cream Hershey's. I like those. Yeah, they're very sweet.
That is very sweet.
I'll never get a big one. I'll get like the little, like 50 cent ones. You know what I mean? Like the 100 calorie ones. The tiny ones.
Oh, the miniature ones.
Yeah, the miniature ones. I'll get those.
Oh, you are too fancy. I just love the two that you pick are Ferrero Rocher and the truffle one.
And Lindor truffles. Listen, don't knock on the Lindor truffles. They have this variety pack that they put out at Christmas time. It's got the coconut ones that are fucking banging. The white chocolate ones with, I don't know, they have some like fancy name cream inside. I can't remember what they're called. It's like just something. They're fucking good. They have the blue ones. Oh my God, the blue ones are just delicious.
You just kill me. A Ferrero Rocher.
Dude, it's just like a little bit of chocolate. You know what I mean? A little bit of chocolate.
You mean that fancy French, that old fancy French chef with the big, with the huge hat as he's pouring the liquid gold into the cups of chocolate.
You got it. You got it.
The lid chuck.
You got it.
You are so fancy. I love it. I love it. I didn't expect that in a million years.
Listen,
oh my God.
What do I look like, a pleb to you? Come on now.
Okay, all right.
I'm not one of these guys that goes and gets spaghetti and meatballs for $10 fucking dollars. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you. Oh my God. Whew, that's so good. That gives me a chuckle. You know what? And this is just a little something. I don't know how in-depth you want to get. But it sort of dawns on me. And I think we need to talk about Chicago's very own celebrity.
Pizza?
No.
AKA Chicago casserole?
No. Chicago's very own celebrity, Common.
Oh, I love Common.
His fucking career is pretty effing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now. Like, he went from doing fantastic albums, don't get me wrong. Love them, love them, love them, love them. And now he is so... Like, a lot of his stuff is very message-oriented, which is really cool, really impressive. But then he goes on and does a Fox competition show that is... And I don't know if you ever watched it or even know about it. Wasn't even on your radar.
Nope.
But he was, you know, when Ink Master was at its zenith, Spike wanted to do something else that was similar to it. So Common was the host, the Dave Navarro spot. And the show revolved around woodworkers. Or no, I shouldn't even say woodworkers. Well, I guess they're woodworkers, but they're furniture makers. And it was a competition show that led to, you know, an Ink Master type prize and like, oh, and your stuff will be showcased in this place and you will get this and you will get a check for this. And the show, my wife and I loved it. I can't even recall what the hell it's called. I'm sure you could look it up on his IMDb. But he was the judge and, you know, spokesperson, you know, just exactly what Dave Navarro does. But it was fascinating watching guys and women build furniture out of nothing. And they would do, just like Ink Master or any of these competition shows, like now you'll build a chair, any type of chair you want, out of playing cards. Or you'll do it out of this. And to watch, and it's not the competition part for me, as I always tell Liz, it's the creative part. How am I going to take these packs of playing cards and create something out of it? That's the interesting puzzle piece. But he did it, and I'm telling you, like, that show didn't even last a season. Like, they never had a finale for it. Spike just dropped it. But maybe 7 episodes, 8 episodes were on, and they were, if you enjoy like furniture building, it was fascinating to watch furniture building.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So the question for you is,
yes?
Does Common enjoy building furniture?
I think he knew a lot of shit about furniture, dude.
Really?
I think he knows, like, he knows designers and he has stuff in his house. Like, having him walk around and he was naming designers I've never even heard of, and I would go on and, like, look up the guy's stuff, and it was really expensive, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, I have whatever it is, Ashcroft. I have 2 of his pieces in my house. Oh, I have a table by such and such. Like, he, yeah, absolutely. His game is no joke. Like, if he likes shoes, he's into shoes.
So,
it's fascinating coming from, like, even that, like, hosting that show, and now he's, like the previous Oscars, he was on the red carpet interviewing people. And before that, what did he do? Oh, let me guess. John Wick 2, and he does probably one of the best action scenes in a film in probably a decade. You know what? Like, good God, his breadth of work is amazing. I was just thinking about it, and I didn't. I would love to know your thoughts. We never talked about Common, so I was curious where you land on it.
No, that's interesting because there's a few people like that that just like completely change careers. What's the guy that's playing Lando in that Han Solo movie?
Oh, good God!
You know who I'm talking about, the rapper.
I do.
That he's not going to rap anymore because he's acting now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I thought he was a pretty good musician. But, like, he's a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Common's another one of those guys that, like, I remember listening to Common growing up. Then all of a sudden, I'd never heard about Common ever again. And then he showed up in, like, the Chappelle Show. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm seeing him in other TV shows. And then, like, little bits in movies. And now he's in, like, big budget movies.
As well as, like, the voice of many commercials.
Yeah. And video games.
He's... You could just tell, like, he's not out there to make as much money as possible. He's picking and choosing exactly what he wants to get behind.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's fantastic to look at his career. And I don't know if you've seen John Wick 2, but... Holy Christ, does he do a great action scene.
Yeah, John Wick 2 is good.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes long. it was exhausting to watch.
No, it just feels like 20 minutes long. Is that new TV show, what's it called? Hotel Artemis. Is that the same hotel from John Wick?
I believe it is.
Is it?
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Because from the trailer, it's got, oh, God darn it, Sterling K. Brown.
Ooh.
He's the main character. And Jodie Foster is the hotel manager.
Oh, that's it. I haven't seen the trailer. That's interesting.
Yeah. And judging from what I saw, it looked like that hotel from John Wick. Matter of fact, maybe I should look it up.
Cool.
Oh, you know what? No, it's not.
Wow.
It's very similar, though. The hotel's a hospital for, like, spies and gangsters.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds like the John Wick Hotel.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Except maybe it's loosely based on John Wick. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure they got the inspiration from that. It reminds me of that comic that I was reading. Oh, dang it. Now I can't remember the name of it. And there's people listening that were reading it, and they're like, you dummy, it's blah. Apparently this happens a lot on this podcast. I don't know if you get these messages, Nick.
I don't. I wish you'd relay them, because there's times where I wish I knew XYZ title that we're talking about.
I get some of these where we're like, you and I are talking about something and we can't figure out what it is. And like, I'll get an email or a Twitter message or something. They're like, oh, you were talking about blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yep, that's it. And of course, we never follow up.
No, we never follow up, but I'd love having a corrections department from the Legionnaires, so thumbs up to that. Mm-hmm. Please. Yeah, keep us in line.
There was a comic that was really good, and it was about this like a paramedics team for supervillains.
Yeah, isn't that the one you recommended to me?
Yes, what was it called?
Oy, oy, oy. Oh, good God, now you're going to have me go look at
Medic,
it up.
Medic, Medic. That's what it's called. That comic's freaking awesome.
That comic was ripped, because the thing that sold it to me was, you said something like, imagine people getting in a fight in Astro City and who's going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yeah, okay, that's a good premise. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was smart. Really good. That publisher's not around anymore, though.
I was wondering what happened to that title.
Yeah, they went under. Well, I think that book was only supposed to be 5 or 6 issues. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Still a shame.
Yeah, still a shame. I was talking about that with probably Aaron, I think, yesterday.
Mm. On the Saved by the Bell podcast?
Yeah, from the Saved by the Bell podcast.
Fantastic.
Saved by the Aaron Bell.
That is a good title.
It is pretty good. Because, mm-hmm. like, 451 isn't doing anything either. That's the publisher that was doing David Baron's book. Was it Stained?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not doing anything anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
And
they had Hollywood Bunny behind them.
Oh, yeah. It was the Transformers guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're not doing anything.
That was supposed to be... I think that was his take on what Netflix is doing.
Yeah, probably.
Bringing on Mark Miller.
Except Netflix is actually doing stuff with that, as opposed to 451 that is defunct.
Yeah, dude,
like, they don't even have a website. Like, if you Google or DuckDuckGo 451 comics,
yeah,
it just like takes you to the Facebook page.
Oh, that's a shame.
Who does that?
I wonder if David Baron still owns the rights to the characters.
I think so.
Or is it left with 451 and you just have to put it in the water and kick that boat into the water?
yeah, no, I think so.
To the lake.
If I remember right, what I heard was that volume 2 of that book is going to be like a movie, maybe? And then volume 3 is going to be a comic again? I think that's what I heard.
I always assumed that's what 451 would be doing.
Of course.
It's turning any and all properties into media properties.
But, like, they never did anything else with the rest of their books.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And they had some good ones. They had, oh, God. Bad Moon Rising. Like a werewolf thing.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Sunflower they put out was really good. Neverland was like a modern retelling of Peter Pan. That was really good. Mm. I'm trying to think. I thought they had another one, like a zombie one. Oh, yeah, Self-Storage.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it was good. Good stuff. And they're not even around. I don't understand that. I mean, I get the comics are hard, you know what I mean? But... shit, bro. What about some comics?
Yeah, that's a shame.
Did you see my tweet about that book that you should read?
No.
Oh. Maybe it didn't send. I've been having problems with that. There's a Vault comic called Deep Roots.
Oh, I heard you on another podcast.
I don't do any other podcast.
Buddy.
There's only this podcast.
No. Comic Talk Today.
Oh, yeah, that one. I talked about it on that.
Heard you describing it, and the two... What did you combine up? There were two...
Planetary meets Alan Moore Swamp Thing.
Yeah. That's right in my wheelhouse.
I figured that would have you intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't read it yet. But I flipped through it, and the art looks awesome. Yeah.
Well, guess what? If it wrangles onto another episode of your podcast and it becomes top of your pile, I might have to might have to invest some time into it.
Yeah, yep. It just might make it. Who knows? I got a lot of comics to read this week, though.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
So many comics. I know Paul just commented on Twitter because I tweeted about it, and he's like, "All that work we did for nothing." Just remember, for a while, like I was trying to cut. Well, I was trying to cut my pull list down, and that was.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was down to like 20, 25 books, and like I think last week I read like 25. This week I've got like almost 25. It's not looking good, Nick.
Jiminy Christmas.
We need an intervention.
Yeah, I think you do need an intervention. Do you need me to cut through some of that? I'll trim that thing right down.
But
at least now you don't have to worry about Marvel 99-cent trades anymore.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, you can put all that money back in your pocket.
Well, I mean, it wasn't going in my pocket anyway.
Yeah, I was joking.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know, man. I might need to go and do a culling again.
God, I hope so.
But it's not working, man. Not working.
Well, there's a lot of good. Hey, there's a lot of creative people out there putting out good products. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But could you switch over and maybe read the trades of them instead of the issues? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
I'm just saying, like, there's a staggering approach that you could do instead of getting all the individual issues, but. Guess what? Supporting indie people, I think that's sort of important. So,
but the thing is, if I do that, then I'll just be buying a shit ton of trades.
That's true.
And those are heavy.
I don't think DC and Marvel will shutter up shop if you aren't purchasing floppies.
I'm not getting that much from them nowadays. Let me see. This week from Marvel, I've got 3.
Wow.
And from DC, I've got 4. Yep.
Sheesh. My yep. God.
And one of you know if I want to read. I got a Hunt for Wolverine. You know, Wolverine's coming. Wolverine is coming. He's like the Bendis of mutants.
He's back.
Yeah. So
what's
I had to
gonna
get
happen
that.
To old man Wolverine then?
Well, you know. He's going to go to the retirement home. And,
he's still very popular, so he'll be around.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure he will. So I'm picking it up. Well, I mean, I picked it up. I'm going to read it. But
yeah,
you
should.
I don't even know if I want to read the whole thing, dude. Because like originally, it was on my list because they were doing... It was like a 4-issue mini.
Mm-hmm.
Well... You know, Marvel being Marvel, it's not a 4-issue mini anymore. It's like a 4-issue mini with like 6 tie-in books and like this and that and the other. And I'm just like, God damn it.
Jeez.
I don't want to get all this crap. There's a book with Psylocke in it. Like, I'm just going to buy it because Psylocke's in it. I don't even know if I'm going to read it. Tough. It's tough reading comics, Nick.
Oh, man, it must be tough to be you, man.
It's hard work.
I feel for you.
Yeah, it's hard work.
Yeah, I feel for you.
But yeah. And there's some I don't even know if I'm going to read. You know, like, I talked about The Prisoner on that episode. And I don't even know what it's about. Like, I don't know if it's a rewrite in comic format or if it's, like, a sequel. Because... They did a sequel, God, it was like late 80s or early 90s. DC did a trade. It was a direct sequel to The Prisoner.
Oh, that, who was it? Dean Motter?
I don't know. Let's see if I can find it.
I could swear it was Dean Motter. But I thought you meant the remake that Ever Lovin' Jesus Jim Caviezel played the the title role, and Ian McKellen was in.
Oh, yeah, that was all right.
It was all right.
Damn it, DC. You know, DC has it on their freaking website, but it doesn't list a goddamn credit. Yeah, you're right, Dean. Yep, the prisoner, Shattered Visage.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to read that, though, man.
I hope it's a sequel.
Yeah?
Because I don't need you to retell The Prisoner.
But, like, who knows about The Prisoner?
No one.
No one.
But guess what? If this sequel that just... Come on. It can be as wackadoodle as a Grant Morrison tale. But if it's told right and good, that would inspire some people to be like, I want to go check out the old TV show, or I want to go check out the Ian McKellen Prisoner. Like, that's good. That's cool. The 60s or whatever, the 70s, that doesn't hold up. It's very dated. But guess what? There's a charm to it. There's something cool there. It's fun. And I hate to say it, I wish it was streaming. I would go and watch that right now.
I just found it. It's not a sequel. It's a comic adaptation of the series.
Okay. It could still be done okay, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I just sort of wanted them to go in a new direction.
Well, you know, maybe if it does well.
Maybe.
Then they can.
Oh yeah, I'm glad that property is being touched again. That's fun.
I wonder if they're gonna do like a Netflix original. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, why The Prisoner of all things?
Yeah, true.
It just seems weird because it only lasted for one season.
Mm-hmm.
Only people that like grew up in the late '60s probably remember it.
Yeah, I think I got into it in the like 2000s.
Hmm.
Just because they reissued, that's when they reissued the properties.
Right, right, right.
So that's when I was like, wow, this looks really funky. And what the hell's up with this big white ball chasing them around?
Well, see, that's the cover image for the first issue.
Oh, there you go.
So I should have just guessed from that. Mm-mm-mm. But
I read the modern equivalent of The Prisoner.
Oh, which is?
I just finished up the deluxe edition volume 3 of Grant Morrison's Invisibles.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you want wackadoodle. Invisibles is wackadoodle.
Really?
And at the end of volume 3, he writes about, and I think this was originally something he wrote. I think this was originally done. I don't think it was done for these deluxe editions. But he wrote how little groundswell volume 1 and volume 2 were, and how American audiences had problems with it, how editors and other people had issues with it, and that's why he kept like volume 2. He would, and it was selling pretty poorly, I guess. I mean, I don't see why he would lie about any of this.
Sure, sure.
So like he always saw it as like volume 2 will start off back at number 1 with a new creative team. Volume 3 will start off back at number 1 with a new creative team, and that was always his vision. But I guess it was, so in this little like chat that he has at the back of the book, he's like, I guess people are really fickle and they just want one artist to do the entire series. And whenever you change up creative people, that it throws the reader base and they'll just drop the book. And in my head, I'm like, do you realize some of the topics that you're talking about? Not that you don't flesh them out, and not that they don't make sense, but he's talking about like a lot of paranoid topics that people would just shrug off like, oh yeah, the government's listening. Oh yeah, eye roll. On on to the next thing, you know. But it's really interesting to, it's a really paranoid, and I mean, back in the day when it was originally coming out monthly, but there's so much, it's definitely a book that reads better in trade. Because I remember monthly, I would just be like, oh my God, another Morrison acid trip. I don't understand where this left off. And it's a very difficult read. Like, it is difficult. And not in a bad way, just like a challenging way. But if you were to read it now, imagine reading only 30 pages as well as your other 24 books that you're reading in a month. And then, 30 days later, here comes the next part. And there absolutely is no in previous issue. There is no, everything is continued. So nothing wraps up until you hit the end of that volume.
Hmm.
So it is like a soap opera that you're, well, a soap opera is a lot easier because all you're doing is passively watching. But imagine trying to like constantly have what happened in the back of your head 30 days later after reading 20, 30 comics in that month. Like, that's why when I was originally reading it, I was just like, it's very well written. And guess what? Volume 3, the art is by Phil Jimenez. So it's like, you can't get much better than that. And yet, some of the stuff he's talking about is just at a complete different level, and like you really have to focus and pay attention. That's why reading it in a graphic novel is the best possible way to digest it. So reading this like post that he has at the back of the trade, I was just like, well, no shit, people were confused. No shit, people bitched, because he would be, after every like three issues, he would be changing artists and changing colorists. So like nothing looked similar, nothing. It was hard to keep everything spaced out in your head, because back then, you know, they weren't in the trade game.
Yeah, right.
And it was really interesting. He said that he was writing at the same time he was writing, good God, what was it? It was one of his more popular, Justice League.
Okay.
He said he started that right when he started Justice League. So I'm sure he was getting great bleed over onto both books, mm-hmm. you know? But it was still just like, oh my God, you know how confusing that would be for somebody who has no clue who you are, never read any of your Vertigo previous work. And they're picking up Invisibles because you're also writing Justice League.
Right.
So why not pick up Invisibles? Because there's some cool character design. They all really cool and badass on the cover, because every cover is like Brian Boland or like somebody really good. So of course, you know, you get hypnotized by it, but then all of a sudden you open it up and it's like government conspiracy, subliminal messaging, acid trips, like aliens, like all of this bizarre, like they even had in the trade I just read, they had a very like acid trippy, like it was cool how it was designed using like, I think it was I and you. So the like I and then YOU, and it would be like offset, like typecast as a background on a page. So it'd be right next, it'd be like I would be background of black with the letter I in white. Right next to it would be you, YOU, in white, and the background would be black. And they just repeated that throughout the entire page. So yeah. It really like stood out. But still, it was just like, you're looking at this and all of a sudden it's that. Here's the ectoskeleton of one of the black protagonists, and you see this like little alien almost like an insect. It looks like a cockroach that was like attached to her spinal column. And with like tentacles going up to her brain as well as like onto her nervous system. And I was just like, huh. And this, you want somebody to read Justice League and then come over and see this and be like, yep, guess what I'm moving on with right here. Like, it's just a hard sell back in what, 93?
Yeah, like, mid-90s.
Yeah, that's a really tough sell. So it was interesting that he was just like, yeah, the, you know, reviews have been great, but the readership has fallen off and they've given me, and this was before the internet. So it was like, you know, all the letters that I've received has said that they can't wrap their heads around having new artists appear so frequently. So in this volume, I have Phil Jimenez working the entire volume. So hopefully that consistency will bring back some readers. And then they also find, you know, the government conspiracy and all of my thoughts that I have crafted into Invisibles, they're complaining that it's a dense read. And it's just like, well, it is a dense read. Like, yeah. It's absolutely is not a bad read whatsoever. But it's like, yeah, you have to understand you can't pat yourself on the back that you're putting this out right when your JLA run is going and not be thinking, oh, I'm going to really throw the reader when they go off into and also buy Invisibles because of JLA. Like, you can't be surprised at that.
I wonder if he was writing that now, if he would be writing that kind of letter in the back. You know what I mean?
Oh God, no.
Because
I guarantee you wouldn't.
It seems to me like the stuff that people are complaining about that he's doing in that book is stuff that's commonplace now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And that's why Grant Morrison is the greatest.
He is. But also, this was 20 years earlier. So he does not have the clout and the thick skin that he has now. Like, you could tell he was a little bit miffed of, like, why don't you guys just want to go on this journey with me? And then he also said, Volume 1 was set in Europe, and I heard from many American readers that they found it hard to relate to a British setting. So Volume 2, I set it in America. Yet, in my head, I was reading Hellblazer back during that time, and I had no problem with that. And you can't tell me Hellblazer was not selling gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And that was set in Europe. So it's like, yeah, by all of your little retorts, but you know what? He wrote a fucking brilliant, like, I am loving that series even more. Just because I'm actually gaining so much more from it. Compared to reading it single issues.
Oh,
like,
sure.
It really should just be deluxe editions. Give me 500 pages and I'm good.
Well, shame on Comixology because I don't have an unlimited discount for this shit.
Oh, that ain't good.
Nope.
Well, there's a Vertigo sale happening right now, son.
Oh, snap. There's a code, isn't there?
Just, there's either a code or you don't have to buy the deluxe ones. I think the regular trades, because I think the deluxe are like two trades in one.
Yep.
But I think the trades, if you add those up, that should be the same price as the deluxe edition.
Vertigo sale. All right, let's see. There's a code on here.
Mm.
There's no code. Just like, here's a bunch of shit on sale.
That's weird.
That is weird. G-D-it.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, it's fine. I'm gonna go ahead and get Volume 1 anyway. I've been meaning to read this. I don't think I've ever read this.
No?
No. And I think you and I may have talked about this at one point, and I was like, I'm gonna read it, but I never did. So I'm just gonna go ahead and buy it now.
Hey, there's some difficult parts to it. I'll be the first to admit it. But guess what? He's talking about just some crazy theories. And don't forget, you can read like interviews with him right now. And writing Invisibles, this was like when he was at his most hedonistic, at his most drug dependent, at his most, I will experiment with whatever lifestyle or behavior that's out there. Like he was living this type of stuff. That's why it's like, oh my God, this is the closest to like Hunter S. Thompson that you'll read. Like he was doing some stuff.
See, but that's interesting to me because I like those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Hunter S. Thompson. Like Thomas Pynchon is my favorite writer of all time. Mm-hmm. He was one of those kind of guys too. And what you're telling me, like from the plot synopsis, it sounds like he's like, I don't know how familiar you are with MK Ultra.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so MK Ultra was supposedly a government like program by the CIA to use hallucinogenics for mind control.
Oh yeah.
There's like this whole thing. Matter of fact, there's a Netflix series out right now called Wormwood that is freaking incredible. You need to watch that.
Okay.
And it's related to the MK Ultra stuff.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately that have been diving into some of the MK Ultra stuff. Because it's really interesting. I don't know how real any of it is. I'm sure some of it is. Some of it seems like really far-fetched. You remember, so you're a little bit older than me. You remember like the satanic panic of the 80s?
Oh God, yeah.
Where like when anything bad happened, like they were devil worshippers.
I was not allowed. Okay, just a quick tangent. I was not allowed to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
Because my parents saw a 2020 that talked about Satanist behavior. I brought home a Bauhaus in the Flat Fields album to play. And the picture is just a very diffused female form. But my dad was listening to the music coming out of my speakers. And he was like, nope, that's going back. Oh yeah, I lived through that that panic of the 80s for sure.
Well, part of this like is related because I think I think MKUltra was an actual project, and I think it officially disbanded in like, oh God, I want to say the early 80s, but it might have been earlier than that because they were trying to create like super soldiers, you know, like. Get people these drugs to make them do whatever you want. And we've seen like a shit ton of movies like that, right? Like the Bourne movies are pretty much like based on that whole thing. Where you've got a secret CIA program that creates super soldiers by giving them drugs and making them forget their past and all like mind control, mind wiping, all that stuff.
Sure.
But like even after the program was officially disbanded, there's like, you know, people get crazy. And when they hear these things, they're like, oh, it must be blah, blah, blah. Right. Like the aliens did it. and so there's a lot of things that like have happened that conspiracy theorists blame on like it being a continuation of MK Ultra. Like, there's a podcast that I really like. What's it called? Cults. And, they just recently did like a 3-part series on Jonestown.
Ooh.
And they talk about Jonestown quite a bit. And that same network has another one called Unexplained Mysteries, I think. And one of the things that they did on that was they talked about Jonestown and how maybe, what was his name? Something Jones.
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones. How Jim Jones apparently, briefly worked for the CIA or like some kind of connection to the CIA. And so like one of the crazy theories was that Jonestown was part of MK Ultra and like Jim Jones never died and like whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like crazy stuff like that.
I love it.
It's really interesting. Like, all right, I love comics because how inventive they can be. But mm-hmm. like, if you like go down crazy rabbit holes on the internet, like you will find the craziest fucking stories in the world from people who mm-hmm. believe their reality. You know what I'm saying?
Without a doubt.
It is amazing the level of imagination that people have. Now it's a little sad when that imagination kind of becomes reality, but still. But anyway, based on everything you're telling me, like this is going to be something I'm really going to enjoy.
The best way to describe Invisibles is if Hunter S. Thompson wrote the X-Files.
Oh, I love the X-Files.
Yeah, there's so much government conspiracy, paranoid. Like, yeah, it's real. It's just interesting, especially looking back at it. And remembering that Grant Morrison would be like, oh yeah, I went to sex clubs for research. Oh yeah, I did those drugs for research. Oh yeah, I did. And it was just like, oh my God. And this is what came out, like, wow, wow. Mm. Like I see his run on Doom Patrol, like, okay, he probably dropped some acid, you know, he had some good times coming up with some of these characters and situations, but this is just like, it is on the rails and it totally tells a story, but wow, does he throw every type of, like, especially if you think about when it was made. Like, he's talking about lucid dreaming. He's talking about stuff that must have been very cutting edge in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Especially pre-internet.
Like, right.
Wow, he must have had some effing network that would just be, like, sending him research topics on this type of stuff. So, the one thing I would love to have is, like, a compendium of, like, his notes and research while doing this run.
They don't have any of that in the deluxe?
No.
Oh, wow. No. That's a missed opportunity.
For sure. I will happily wait for that anniversary edition or absolute edition if that's what it... Do you remember that in the, I want to say early 2000s, late 99s, do you remember in Vegas that they held a Grant Morrison convention and he was the guest of honor?
What?
Yes. Yeah, look it up. It was a furries before furries conventions happened. It was people dressed up and like large orgies happening. And the price of the tickets were not that expensive. And I was really debating on it. I talked to a buddy of mine and we were really debating on. Yeah, it was, I could swear it was like late 90s, early 2000s. And it felt very culty to be.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, cults are where it's at.
Dude, you can't go wrong with Grant Morrison. And if you've never read Invisibles, if you've never read his Doom Patrol run, highly, highly entertaining, highly recommended, especially as a trade. Like, just set aside some time. Don't be reading a lot of book. Like, you want to keep all of those tangents that he's writing about fresh in your head.
Hmm.
Like, you're not gonna read 10 books while you're reading a Hunter S. Thompson book. You know, it's like, no, you need to focus a little bit. So maybe the way you're getting it, the non-deluxe, maybe that's the way to go, because then you're going to be in and out in, what, 180 pages, 200 pages?
I don't know. This says Invisibles 1 through 12 and Absolute Vertigo number
1. Ooh, okay.
So 13 issues, that's what, like 140 pages?
Okay.
My math is no good.
It's better. I'm just saying it's better than mine, because mine are like 486 pages.
Oh, that Lord.
Like, you are invested, and you know me, like, I try not to read multiple things at a time because I want to hyper focus on what I'm reading. And that was sheer pleasure, my friend. Wrapping that up.
Yeah, here you go.
Oh, I really...
It, book one is 327 yeah. pages. Ooh. Two is 352. Three is 336. And four is 506. Holy Jesus Christ.
He wrote it for a long time, dude. And each of his like cutoff points are like 24 issues.
Hmm.
So like trade one is like 12 issues. And if you read trade two, it'll probably be issue 13 through 24. But then trade three will be considered volume two. And it will start back at issue one.
Yeah, trade three is volume two, 1 through 13.
There you go.
Trade four is 14 to 22, and then volume three, 1 to 12.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, Comixology, you have a typo. It says volume three numbers 12 to 1. I forgive you.
Ooh. Ooh.
But I will edit your website if you'd like.
If you'd let me in there, I will happily. Comixology, hire me. I will happily do that.
Just give me free unlimited, and I don't know. I'll be nice. Just like 10 free books a week.
Ooh, that'd be so nice,
right?
Hey, now before we leave Vertigo,
Can
I? Now I need your help.
Ooh,
because you know. You turned me back. You turned my love back on in regards to the Wildcats.
But all the ladies tell me.
Hell yeah.
Wildcats! Wildcats!
And you know I fell completely head over heels for the new version.
Yeah, Wildstorm.
Wildstorm.
Yep, the Wildstorm.
The Wildstorm.
That's because it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. No dispute in that. But since the Vertigo sale's happening, the artist of the Wildstorm, his previous book with Gail Simone, The Clean Room.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
Okay, well worth it?
Oh, yeah. I think, because okay. they had relaunched with, what was it, like 6 or 7 different books. And most of them didn't last very long, but I think The Clean Room was the best of the bunch. What was the other one? It might be called like 140. Where it's like Twitter type app. That was really good too.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to that.
I'm a big fan of Gail Simone.
Yeah.
And when I saw the three volumes, I'm like, oh, $6 each, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up. Because I love his art. So.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. John Davies Hunt.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really, really good.
Okay, cool.
They shouldn't have killed that whole line, dude. What's Vertigo? Vertigo's just fucking... I don't know, dude. What's happening over there?
Hey, I told you one of the biggest errors they did was to let Sandman go off and be in his own little pocket universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, you're under Vertigo. Get your butt under Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your little pocket universe, but we want to have the logo on that as well as let people know you're part of Vertigo. Pretty dumb.
Yep, it was dumb.
Pretty dumb.
They, I think they've got some stuff out now. I think that new Team Sealy book is a Vertigo book, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, good.
Oh, God, what else? I thought there was another one. Oh, Deathbed?
Oh, yeah, I heard good things about
that. Yeah, Deathbed's good. Deathbed's good. They are, that's like the thing they're doing now, is for anybody that becomes a DC exclusive writer, part of the deal is that Vertigo gets first dibs on any creator-owned work.
Oh, jeez.
Now, they can pass on it, but if they like it, then it gets put out through Vertigo.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's to go after like more of an Image pricing structure.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I would hope so.
I don't know.
Because that will bring some writers around and artists.
Well, you got to think too.
Bring it there, and guess what? You have a DC engine of promotion and marketing behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Imaginary yes. Friends is a Tim Seeley book. It's a horror book, so you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good idea though, because like that. I think that takes a lot of stress off the writer, too, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need to pitch it to people and, like, shop it around. You're just like, here you go, Vertigo, like, take a look. And if they like it, then cool. If not, then you can worry about it.
Yeah,
but I mean, smart. Most of the writers that DC has now, I don't think they would have a problem going elsewhere, either.
Oh, I'm sure not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, going over to Image is not that much of a drop.
No, you're right. Right.
Pre-Walking Dead? Yes, I would say that's a little bit of a drop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Fine. Ooh. Nope, I lied. See, what? This sale's terrible.
Uh-oh.
Vertigo sale sucks. I'm better off getting the deluxe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it comes out to like half of just getting the trades.
Or you can just wait for that to be on sale and get it that way.
I guess.
Did you check a physical copy? Maybe a physical copy.
Oh, that could be a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's head on over.
And Matt, and let me tell you, some of those Brian Bolan covers, booga, booga. That man knows covers.
Oh, Amazon's so sweet.
What's that?
So far this year, I've saved $250 and 40 hours of travel time by shopping on Amazon.
Oh, that's good news. Look at you. Thanks.
Thanks, Amazon.
Thanks. I'll put that right back in my pocket. Now where's another deal? Give me a deal.
Give me a deal. Give me some more 99-cent trades.
Exactly.
Where's that at? Now it's more expensive to get the physical copy.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
I will say I did get those when they were on. I know we talked about it because I was hoping to get you on board. But I think they had those deluxe ones for like, I want to say $6.99. Like it was some crazy price when I was like, but it has 24 issues. Why are you offering it for $6.99?
Oh man, is the Paul Dini Zatanna any good? I hope you can pick that up.
I read about a quarter of it, and then I had to return it to the library.
Ooh, okay, that means it's not good. All right, speaking of not good, I think we should talk about a trailer.
Ooh, okay.
Infinity War. No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about the Venom trailer, Nick.
Sure, yeah. What's your thoughts on that?
Because you thought that I was going to leave you high and dry and talk about it on some other podcast that I may or may not do. And it was funny, too, because I had just finished recording that episode in which I explicitly said, I'm not talking about this trailer because I want to talk about it with Nick.
I read your mind.
On the one, the only, the Nerd Legion podcast. The Starship podcast.
Right behind Ivar's long box.
did you hear the, I think it was the last episode of Aftershock Central we did, where Ronnie and I had an argument about why the Nerdy Legion will always be the Starship podcast?
No, now I have to listen to it.
Yeah, just listen to the first like 5 minutes.
No, I like listening to the whole thing.
I had to school Ronnie. Schooled! Anyways, Venom.
Put him in his place. I appreciate it.
He needs to be. He gets uppity sometimes. Who is beeping at me? Get off me, bros. Oh, it's Twitter. Dang it, Twitter.
Man, you with your Discord and Twitter while we're recording. Very unprofessional.
No, see, Discord I don't need to worry about. Because when I hit start recording on OBS, it automatically sets my Discord to streamer mode, and I get no notifications.
Oh, very good. But, I like that.
But my phone, apparently I didn't disable alarms, I muted alarms. So my fucking thing is constantly vibrating. All right.
Not good.
Put it on my lap for when it vibrates.
Yeah.
So Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk. Finally, we get an actual trailer.
It was a trailer.
It was, yeah, for sure.
Things happened.
Mm-hmm.
English was improperly used on a multi-million dollar movie. I mean, not technically.
Is this the symbiote?
Yes, the symbiote.
Both proper, but...
Both proper, but I thought... I mean, it's kind of jarring, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So I get it.
And I'm sure Twitter blew up because there's a lot of English Nazis there.
Oh, yeah.
That wanted to make sure it was proper. I'm sure they just weren't any and all just to be complaining about it. I'm sure it was they were complaining for the proper use of English.
Well, I think IO9... which I love going to IO9. They had like a whole article. Wait, was it IO9? It might have been something else. But they had a whole article on why it's dumb that they said symbiote instead of symbiote. And then like it ends with, because you know, you can go on like Google and look up a word, or like on YouTube and get like a video of somebody saying that word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the article ended. They posted a YouTube video of, like, whatever it is, dictionary.com pronouncing symbiote. But it's so dumb, dude. Like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, is that what we've come to?
Like I said, it's just people that want to be complaining about X Marvel movie. That's all.
Sure, I guess. But it's just so dumb. Now I was thinking about it because I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I say symbiote, but then I was thinking about it and like I say symbiosis. I don't say symbiosis, so I mean, like, I guess symbio would be okay, or like we say biology, not biology. You know what I mean? Like it's the same root word. Anyway, who gives a shit? Let's talk about this trailer. So I have one major problem with this movie.
Okay, only one. Interesting. Okay.
I said one major. The other ones are not the other ones are not so major. Sure. The major
Go ahead.
The major problem I have with this movie is that
yes,
there's no Spider-Man connection.
That's the big thing that you have an issue with.
That's my biggest gripe with this movie. So if you talk to like Aaron Bell, for example, Mr. Mm-hmm. Aaron Bell hates Gotham, one of the greatest comic book TV shows out right now, hates it because the Joker's in it. And you can't have Joker without Batman, which to me makes sense. But it doesn't impede my enjoyment of the show. You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's an Elseworlds story. But with Venom, I think that's more true of Venom than it is of Joker. Because there have been times in comic book history where Joker and Batman weren't as interconnected as they have become over the last 30, 40 years.
Right.
But with Venom, like, that's how the fucking thing started. You know what I mean? The symbiote was a part of Peter Parker. And so he gained a lot of his abilities and his look from the way that Spider-Man acted and looked. And in this movie, there's none of that.
Yeah, they redid the origin of it.
Redid the origin. And you know what? For me, all they had to do...
All in the trailer.
Well, I mean, you know, like, Spider-Man could show up in the movie. Very possible. But all they had to do, for me, to not feel that way, is show whatever his name is. Just have him pop up for, like, a second. Say, like, Spider-Sense Tingle or something. Something stupid. You know what I mean? Like, if he's not in any other part of the movie, I wouldn't give a shit.
But how do you know that isn't going to be there?
Well, I mean, looking at this thing, it doesn't seem like it's going to be there. It looks like the Bourne conspiracy, but with an alien symbiote.
Maybe it will be Spider-Man swinging in the background and saying, "Jonah, wait up." You never know.
I mean, maybe. It's possible. But I don't think so. So that's my biggest gripe with this thing. But, I mean, there's other issues that I have. The one that I want to talk about is the transformation scene.
Oh, yeah, sure.
How did you feel about the transformation scene?
You know, when you're doing CGI, you have to have a vision with it. And I give them credit for looking like they're trying to have a vision. But I don't know if it'll succeed. I'm not sure. I'm not there. I'm not spending money on it. It looks like plenty of money's being spent. But the living symbiote on Eddie Brock looks for me, it looks like it is from a David Cronenberg film.
Ooh, I like Cronenberg.
It looks like it's a living embodiment. There could be something sexual happening. I'm not sure. It's dark, it's hazy, but it's constantly moving and a little control, which is sort of what I got from the trailer.
Okay.
But I sort of like the premise of the guy trying to take human biology to its level, whatever it takes.
Sure.
You know, it's like, okay, not the most original thing, but okay. You know, I'm in. I'm hooked. But what did you feel with the transformation?
So the first time that I saw it was not in the trailer, because I guess somebody like saw it the day before, the night before, or that morning, and posted a picture of it, and I kind of died laughing because it looked fucking terrible.
But was this the costume going around his face and
yes.
first forming into? Okay, gotcha.
Yes. There were two. There were two pictures.
I was talking. Yeah, I saw like a GIF of it going around his head the night before. That's why I was like, "Oh boy, this doesn't." Oh boy. I was talking about the transformation of him feeling sick in his apartment and guys coming to his apartment.
That was
the part I was talking about.
Yeah, that was my least favorite part of the trailer.
I'm sure that was the first showing of him like throwing out the symbiote.
Sure. Yeah, that was weird, right? So the guy showed up to his house and he's like jizzing black jizz all over his apartment pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you expect? It's a living uniform, so I don't know.
But like, don't you think it could have been done better? Like showing that the suit is kind of doing its own thing.
Like I said, it reminded me of a David Cronenberg, how stylized it was. That's what I got from it.
I don't know. It didn't even feel stylized, dude. It felt cheap.
Maybe.
Cheap. And you can do great special effects on like zero budget. You know what I mean? So yeah, like I don't like those excuses.
But let's not forget how Thanos looked in the first preview teaser trailer, you know? He looked a lot different than what he looks like right now.
Oh, 50 Shades of Purple?
Yeah. But my two issues with this, and I can't believe you didn't bring it up, was the disappearing part in the trailer. Meaning Tom Hardy's New Jersey accent. It's there one moment, and then it's gone. And then it comes back.
Alright, I need to...
And then it's gone again!
I need to correct you. It's a Brooklyn accent.
Okay, Brooklyn accent. Okay, sorry. Feel free. But it was there, and then it leaves. Whatever accent it was there, and then it left.
He only... It's part of his secret identity. He uses the Brooklyn accent when he's a journalist. And then when he's kicking ass, talks normally.
I just wonder if he gained that Brooklyn accent by listening to the Jerky Boys. I'm not sure.
You know what the bad thing is about Tom Hardy? And I don't see it in everything he does, but I saw it in this movie. He started talking, and I was like, holy fuck, it's Bane. Because it sounded like Bane. You know what I mean? Not like the original release where you couldn't understand what he was saying, but when they re-released it and they like played with the audio so you can actually understand his words, that's what it sounded like. Because he sounds like this. He sounds like a freaking troll. It's so weird. I'm gonna have to
go back and listen. I do like him. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
My only other quibble is I don't like that the symbiote is talking to him.
Hmm.
And I understand in the comic books he's doing that as well. But when I'm reading it in the comic books, I always think it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. I always think it's Eddie Brock talking to himself.
Yep.
So to hear him like the suit corrects him, like, you're going to listen to me. Or maybe you'll listen to me. You know, it's like, I don't know. But Bane was never a bit Bane. Venom was never a big character for me.
Right.
So, and it only got worse and worse with Carnage and whatnot. That's why I've actually gone out since talking to Ronnie and Mike. I've gone out and bought like many Venom story arcs as well as Carnage as well. So it's like I sort of jumped from Eddie Brock to Flash Thompson. And I really enjoyed the Flash Thompson Remender run. And then I jumped from that over to Dan Slott doing Anti-Venom. So I completely skipped Carnage. I skipped in between Eddie as well, like leading up to the Remender stuff. I completely missed all that. So I'm trying to go back and fill in those holes. Because Ronnie swears that Eddie Brock is the best Venom, and I'm still standing on Flash Thompson as the best Venom.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I'm gonna go see it. I think it's still going to be a fun movie to watch. It's just not going to be good.
I think it's going to be a Dick and Tom Wetmore film.
Yeah.
Because I don't see any comedy in it to draw my wife into seeing it. And I don't see where they would even put the comedy. Because obviously they're trying to make... It just seems like every other film out there, every other like vendetta revenge film.
Yep.
Just with a costumed hero.
Yep.
And the... Going over that big jump as the motorcycle falls away and then he sucks himself to it, I was like, oh boy, that's the button at the end of the trailer you want to show? Holy gods.
Mm.
And who knows, maybe they rushed to get this thing out, but at this point, like, hey guys, San Diego Comic-Con is right around the corner. Why not take the, month and a half? And, like, fine-tune a really good trailer to premiere there. Yeah. You didn't have to show this thing just because the dumb GIF, you know, was shown early. Just, you don't need to be chasing and doing damage control by cobbling together this trailer. And the music was completely forgettable.
Yep.
Which usually in Marvel films, it is, like, you know me, it is front and center. I'm loving the music. This, I couldn't even tell you if there was any music in it. If there was, it was completely forgettable.
Nope, I agree.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays. Yeah. Like, I know when Suicide Squad was coming out, we talked about the music a lot.
We
talked about it with Deadpool. Like, music is important.
And Justice League.
Yeah, and Justice League.
Yeah, that was some good music.
Shame on those.
Yeah, I know. And hey, like you said, I'll go see it. And I'll see it in the theater, because I'll support it. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't look like what I'm hoping it was going to be. But what do you expect? It looks better than Spider-Man 3. I guess I can give it that much.
I guess?
Yeah. I mean, if that's saying anything. Hey, did you hear that, John Krasinski? Did you hear that he wants to play Reed Richards?
Yeah.
I thought that was sort of an interesting little thing.
Yeah. I'm in, why not?
Yeah.
And he wants his beautiful wife to be a Invisible Girl, or Invisible Woman.
Yeah, I would sign up for that combo.
Yeah, count me in, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Count me in. I want to see
a lot of fun.
I want to see him do action first, so I got to watch that. What's the show he's doing?
The Tom Clancy?
Yeah.
The Jack Ryan thing?
Jack Ryan, that's it.
Yeah, for Amazon?
Yep, Jack Ryan.
I think that's June.
Oh, it's not out yet?
Coming out soon.
Jesus Christ.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, you know, it already got renewed for a second season.
Hey, that trailer looks pretty badass.
Yeah,
so
it does.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. It does.
And doesn't it feel like the right time for that?
Yeah, why not?
Because Jack Ryan hasn't been around for a while. Seems like that's the perfect amount of time to like leave people wanting.
Yeah, I think the last time was like, that movie with the Star Trek guy, Chris Pine.
Yeah, right.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, like if you wait a couple more years, put out another Bourne film, like you've given enough years that people are like, ooh, you know, real fans would be like hankering for another one. Great, let's see that.
Yep, I agree. I don't know, man. I've been trying to find stuff to get me excited lately, and there just hasn't been a whole lot.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm excited for, like, a couple shows coming back. Like, The 100 is coming back, I think, this week.
And nice.
That's one of my favorite shows.
There
was something else. Oh, The 3%. Is coming back for season 2. I think that's next week. That's got me excited. Then, like, movie-wise, there hasn't been a whole lot that I've seen that I'm like, yeah, I want to see that. Like, I saw the trailer for Cargo. It's a Netflix original. And that looks pretty good. It's based on a short film that was done a couple years ago. And it's, what's his name? I think it's Martin Freeman. He's the main character movie. And I'm going to watch it because it's a zombie movie.
Oh, darn it. Yeah, you had me the deal off.
I know. But there's like this zombie apocalypse, and him and his wife and the kid are like, you know, driving away. And somehow the wife gets infected, but like the infection is slow in this movie. You know, in a lot of like recent zombie films, it's like almost instant. This one takes 48 hours. So she's infected, and so they're dealing with that. And then like, at the 2 days, like, they fall asleep, and when they wake up, like, she's turned, she bites him, so now he's got 48 hours to find someplace to take his daughter, who's, like, one.
Sheesh.
Yeah. It looks pretty good. We'll see.
Yikes, that sounds tense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. There's another zombie movie coming out that looks really tense, and I'm excited to see. And I can't, for the life of me, remember the name of it. But it's got Ellen Page. And
oh wow!
It looks like it's a completely fresh take on the zombie thing. Oh, The Cured—that's what it's called. We're like, this is a zombie thing, but then they find a cure, and so they give the zombies the cure, and that's kind of when the movie starts. And like Ellen Page's brother was a zombie, and like this is whole like government relocation program, and so he's sent to live with her, and there's like a lot of tension because people don't want ex-cured zombies to be living in society. So I guess it plays a lot on like the socio-political thing, you know, like the racial tensions, but with humans and zombies. I don't know. It looks interesting. It looks really intense, and it looks like at the end maybe they start turning back. So.
Oh wow! So it's only a temporary cure.
Yeah, apparently.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
No, I meant tense for the Martin Freeman, just because you know I love the countdown clock.
Oh yeah.
Like. Putting myself in the parent's shoes of like, ooh, I only have 42 hours to get my 1-year-old to safe haven before I turn.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
That one's called Cargo.
Cargo.
Oh, I know which one I saw that I really liked. The Equalizer 2. The new Denzel Washington movie.
Ooh. Is that coming out in theaters?
Yeah, it's coming out in theaters.
Ooh, I might have to take Tom Whatmore to that.
Yeah, he'd dig that. Go when we get off, go watch the trailer for that.
Well, any Denzel Equalizer, sign me up.
Yeah, anything Denzel does is freaking awesome.
Uh-huh.
Denzel is the man.
I just had dinner with old Tommy Whatmore, and he brought up to me twice during our 2-3 hour conversation. So we are going to Deadpool 2, right?
Nice.
And I was like, for sure. It like he wanted to lock down day and time.
No kidding.
And I'm like, oh yeah, count me in. He's like, because that's the only movie I'm looking forward to right now. So we have to go to that.
Hell yeah.
Like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Just to see some Domino.
I hear you, buddy. When's Deadpool come out? Like 2 weeks, right?
I thought it was like middle of May.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think it moved back because it doesn't want to get in the wake of Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, don't blame them. Smart move.
Yeah, I think they moved back for a while.
That is a smart move.
Yeah, definitely. But I don't even know that that's coming out because my Twitter timeline has it blocked.
Nice. Very nice.
Okay, are you ready? I told you I had 3 things and we did 2.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready to come into the safe sandbox and play a little?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question that you'll answer for me and I'll answer for you. If you had to put a tramp stamp tattoo on me, Martin Ferretti, what would it be?
That's an easy one. It would be a rainbow unicorn.
Man, that's a big tramp stamp.
Hey, a lot of space back there.
Would the unicorn be pointing up or down?
That's a good question.
No, yeah, okay. What would be the pose of?
No, he's got to be looking up. You're always chipper.
Okay. All right.
Got to look at the bright side.
I didn't know. I like that.
So
okay.
What would be my tramp stamp?
Oh, that would be simple. I'd be putting the bat logo right there.
Hell yeah.
Just to let all the ladies know, that's where you want the bat cave? Right down there. Right down there.
You don't know who I am? Check out my tramp stamp. I'm Batman.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I was curious. I wanted to play in the sandbox a little.
I would tattoo a lint Lindor truffle on your lower back.
Are you sure you wouldn't do it to like your inner thigh so it looks like Lindor truffles are falling out of your butt? Like yum yum yum. They're just tumbling out of your butt. Yum yum yum.
Oh, is this toilet talk? Toilet talk time.
I can only picture that. That'd be hilarious.
Oh, man. Let's wrap this up, Nick.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to the Starship podcast, The Nerdy Legion, with Nick Wetmore. You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore, and the podcast is at Nerdy Legion. Head on over to nerdylegion.com and get the plethora of podcasts, including new ones, such as Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World. That's going to be it. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.